So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Actually, it means the good sports land.
Episode 10, the Good Sports Land podcast on MadCitySportsZone.com. Spring training edition pretty much keeps rolling on as the Brewers actually had their game canceled today. It was supposed to be at 2:05 Central Time, but with the rain in Phoenix, they kind of expected this to happen this week. Craig Counsell was asked numerous times what he does with the pitching rotation. It was going to be Adrian Hauser, Eric Lauer, and Josh Lindblom today. Lindblom was going to have the start, and it sounds like the plan is just to push everyone back and then just get rolling in the Cactus League when the weather permits. So no first game for the Brewers today, but this episode a little bit shorter than all the ones in the past because this is probably the most fun one I've done. And that's just because Ed Cedar, who everyone knows if you're a Brewers fan, who Ed Cedar is. You see him waving people around third base. But at spring training all week, kind of got a sense of Ed Cedar the guy and Ed Cedar the coach. And it was really a ton of fun just to kind of watch him on the field, interact with players, interact in the locker room. And I actually noticed it on day one of the full squad practices when the Brewers, everyone this year has been talking about how, oh, they have so many new faces in the clubhouse and such a big roster turnover, and your Mike Moustakas's, Yasmani Grandal, Eric Thames, those guys aren't there anymore. So not only do players have to meet each other and get to know each other, I told the story and played the clips earlier in the week of Lorenzo Cain and Brock Holt getting breakfast together and how everything is pretty much like the first day of school because these guys need to get together and get to know one another, but coaches have to do that as well. And Ed Cedar's got to know all these guys extremely well. He's got to work with them on a daily basis, train the outfielders, work with them there. And one of the cool parts that I noticed just through observing in the clubhouse was that he really goes out of his way not only to learn the guys and their personalities, but learn their names, but also learn the proper pronunciation of their names and also try to speak like the guys who are more comfortable speaking in Spanish in the clubhouse. Ed Cedar goes out of his way to try to communicate with them in Spanish. And I think that's really cool for a coach to be able to do. So I not only noticed that, but then everyone wants to see what everything Christian Yelich is doing. And Ed Cedar works with the outfielders. And so one day at practice, I think this was Tuesday at practice, I noticed him, he throws BP and he was throwing to the outfielders. So it was Cain, Yelich, Braun, and Garcia. And he's throwing to the outfielders. And it looked more like what you would think of like a bar league softball team, just the way they interact on the field. I'll keep some of the stories for on the field. We'll leave them there. But just the way the players interact with one another and then the way Ed Cedar interacts with the players. And it didn't seem like they were at work, honestly, at all. It seemed like they were just guys in a park having fun and then hitting, you know, 350-foot home runs because that's what the goal of BP was that day. So I just got curious about kind of behind the scenes, what goes into Ed Cedar, the guy. And we finally got some time to chat in the Brewers clubhouse on Friday morning. So I recorded this episode, or I recorded the interview a couple days ago, but either way, so we finally got some time to chat on Friday morning. He was nice enough to make time in his schedule. And I was glad that he actually did it that day because, well, he brought his dog into work that day. And behind the scenes, I was walking into the clubhouse, or I was walking into the facility on Friday morning, and MLB.com was there, and they're shooting commercials with Ryan Braun, and they're taking photos and doing all this different kind of just preseason stuff that they have to do. Actually, a pretty cool behind-the-scenes look at what all goes into getting ready for a season, not from the on-the-field perspective, but from, you know, when you're watching MLB TV and you see these commercials. I saw it, someone else tweeted it out, so I can kind of spill the beans. There is going to be Ryan Braun on a DJ booth at one point, got some headphones on, so who knows what was really happening there. But Ed Cedar goes into the room, and I think he was taking his kind of individual profile photos or whatever, and he walks in there with his dog, and this is my first year out there, so I was unfamiliar that this is a thing. Ed Cedar brings his dog Squirt to the facilities every now and then, so we started the interview. We sat down on these couches in the clubhouse, and we started the interview, and really Squirt just stole the show. So throughout the interview, you'll hear different noises, or you'll hear us kind of just like stop, and that's because someone needed either to tend to Squirt, or a player or someone came over to pet him or take a photo. So he really stole the show. He's really the main attraction here. But I'll give a little more insight to the interview after it plays. But this is really just a sit down couple minutes with Ed Cedar, who looks like he has more fun than anybody else on a baseball field. And he has the, I don't want to call it luxury, I guess luxury of coaching those outfielders, but he also has to kind of keep them focused for practice when they're out there having a ton of fun. But the interview, as I said, starts off with Squirt kind of stealing the show. So here is myself and Brewer's third base coach, and just all around seems like a fun, amazing guy, Ed Cedar. Oh, quick side note, you'll hear the interview start with Ed talking, and that's because while I was supposed to hit the record button, I thought I hit it, wasn't paying attention, was petting the dog, and then he started talking. I noticed quickly, and I hit record, so you'll hear kind of mid-sentence, but the first question was about what Squirt was doing at the practice facility, and then we take off from there. So now, actually, here's the interview.
An office here wanted, are always bothering me to bring them in. But I'm going, well, who will watch them when I'm out working? Mm-hmm. And then they'll go, we're watching them. I'm going, so we got built-in babysitter. Squirt, look at the show.
Squirt.
So you said when you obviously have to go out to work, but this is my first week here, when I watch you actually out there, it doesn't look like you're working. It looks like you're having more fun than anyone I've ever seen on a baseball field. How enjoyable is just this whole experience for you year in and year out?
Always enjoyable, you know, because baseball, you know, I try to make sure the players, you know, try to make it fun for them. Because if you look at it, baseball is a really negative sport. Come on, you can be successful 3 out of 10 times and you're an all-star. Mm-hmm. So a lot of negativity involved in baseball just from the performance part. So I just try to make it, I don't know, try and make it fun for the guys, whether it's drills, whether so what you made it out, you know, and stuff like that. Just try and make it good for them to come to work every day.
And it never gets old? You just keep grinding?
They probably think I get old. You'll probably have to ask them.
What do you think of the fans that come out to spring training? Because I see you interact with them as well, just to kind of get
everybody. No, you got to love it. It was great the other day because Lorenzo Cain, of course, was doing that. That's gone, because they hear me constantly in batting practice screaming that out. So Lorenzo was doing it. Then we got the fans that do it. So it was pretty great interactions. I'm sure the fans love doing stuff like that.
And that's when I actually noticed just all the energy and things like that. So you're throwing BP, and it's Braun, Yelly, Kane and Garcia, the new guy, and it could be a stand-up comedy show at one point.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Just the way
they
interact.
No, yep, exactly. And that's what, like I said, a lot of negativity in the game, a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. So just trying to make it as easy as possible on the players, if there is easy.
How easy does coaching a guy like Yelich make it, or Kane, or Braun?
Kane's the better one, because you. Kane I had when he just signed, so he hadn't played much baseball and stuff, so I was one of his first coaches, and for sure one of his first outfield and base running coordinators, so that's been pretty cool to be reunited. Yelly's been awesome because, for one, he's one of the best players in baseball,
for sure.
And two, he's always asking, what can he do to be better, what can he do for you, and never have to worry about him not going out there and trying to get the job done. So it's kind of cool.
Those guys just keep you young out there?
Yeah, they do.
So I guess what's the plan, just so Squirt's not going to be on the field?
No, Squirt will not be on the field, because a lot of fans think Squirt is the Hank from years past.
Looks relatively similar.
Yeah, and it was, because when Butch had Hank out there when I first came, because it became that I found them, Butch actually, our security guy, found them, and I went out and joked with him, hey, so it's bring your dog to work week? And he's going, no, this is a stray. So I brought him in and fed him and everything, and ended up on nights where we couldn't find anybody to take him. So him and Squirt are pretty tight.
Nice. Yeah. Going back to Kane real quick, from when you first had him, then he comes back, obviously, after Stern signed him to the big contract. What was this, the maturation that you've seen from his career, just how much he grew in KC?
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did a great job over there, but he was just on the brink of doing it for us, too. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was involved in the Granky. We also lost Escobar, Jamery Jeffery. We lost some good players to get. But, yeah, he matured quite nicely and became an all-star, became a gold glover. became a guy that you watch our workouts. I mean,
he's
high
out
intensity
there every
and
time,
getting
yeah.
after it. If he's not, the only thing is it's still the same because you always had to worry about if he was going to be on time or not. So we still deal with that issue, but it's that's all the pluses mm-hmm. are well worth than the one minus.
But when you have a gold glove, you can be late, right?
No, no way. Do not let him hear that. That is no, Lorenzo.
And then I guess just when you look at ahead at the season, one of the things everyone's talking about, oh, there's so much change in the locker room, so much change in the clubhouse. But when I watch you walk around, one of the things I notice is that learning everyone's name and the proper pronunciation of names, how important is that for as a coach to kind of connect with some of the new guys, especially when you have to kind of learn different languages and things?
Oh, yeah, and for sure, because that's part of trying to get people really comfortable, you know, because mm-hmm. some people probably are anxious when they're in here and not knowing, so I just try to treat everybody like they've been here all the time, like we're a family. I mean, everyone's a friend out there, and that's what I try to get going out of it.
I think Squirt might need you. Well, I very much appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Yep, anything you need, buddy.
Thank you. So that was the interview. Like I said, a ton of fun. Obviously, the dog was somewhat of the focus, but just some of the stories that he has from being with the Brewers as long as he has, from being in Milwaukee when Lorenzo Cain was younger and then trading him off and then bringing him back, and now he's a mature guy who just can't show up for practice on time. I thought that was one of the funnier parts of the interview. But I kid you guys not, when he talks about, you know, hyping up the crowd or talking to fans who are at practices or yelling "you're gone" when there's a home run or just kind of keeping these guys in line during batting practice, he is having a ton of fun. Quick clubhouse story. The other day, there was a guy in the Brewers clubhouse, and he was wearing a very, very bright yellow polo, like very, very bright. And it was a good-looking shirt, had the Brewers Barrelman logo on it and everything. And Ed Cedar comes in and just yells to everyone in there that the sun was out, and everyone kind of just laughs. But he's always not the center of attention, but just the guy who kind of lightens the mood a little bit. So whether that's on the field, in the clubhouse, or when players are around in third base, it was very cool to talk to him. I know fans recognize the name. You see him on television, obviously, kind of the back of his jersey. But that's all I wanted to play on today's episode of the Good Sportsland Podcast. Got some more stuff in the hopper recorded, working on a story, just kind of a quick preview on Corey Knebel. He was obviously an all-star in 2018, really led the team down the stretch there. And then in 2019, he had Tommy John surgery. So I talked to him, and we talked for quite a while, and I have to edit that one down still, but we talked for quite a while about just his progression back, his goals. Then we talked about what he does in the off season, because for him as a pitcher, the Tommy John surgery not only affected that, his ability to pitch, obviously, but his favorite hobbies are golfing and fishing, and Tommy John's repairs the UCL in your elbow. So you can't really golf or fish, or bow hunt was one of his things too. So I'm very unfamiliar with bow hunting, but I'm assuming when you pull back on the arrow thing that it uses your elbow. So basically, not only was baseball taken away from him, but also all of his favorite hobbies. And he said he was very grateful for his family, his wife and daughter Ledger, and he was very, very real and open about his goals for the upcoming season. So I'll have that ready to go. And if you haven't already read or listened to, Corbin Burnes was pretty great to talk to as well. And as I even say this, thinking about the Brewers pitching in 2018 versus 2019, in 2018, Burnes was unhittable. Corey Knebel was an all-star, and Josh Hader was the Josh Hader that people started to like on the baseball field. And in 2019, Jeremy Jeffress wasn't the same, obviously. He ended up not even on the team down the stretch. Corey Knebel was out with an injury. Corbin Burnes was in the minor league. So it was really just Josh Hader as the only guy left. And I think you could probably make the case he didn't have his best stuff last season either. So the crew in 2018 went from such a dominant pitching force out of their bullpen to kind of piecing it together. They obviously had some bright spots. Hader still did his thing and still, you know, recorded a good number of saves. But then they added in Brent Suter and they had Junior Guerra, guys like that. So things really switched over. But just talking to these guys who are still around, Burnes and Knebel, they're excited for this upcoming season and being able to contribute and hopefully get back to the 2018 form. So that episode will be coming up in a couple of days. Also, an article on on Corey Knebel and talk to Craig Counsell about him a little bit too. That'll be coming up on the website as well. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed Ed Cedar as much as I enjoy watching him throw batting practice and interact with the guys. If you want some videos of the batting practice, they're all uploaded them to Twitter. So check them out there. Once again, thanks for listening. Good Sportsland Podcast, MadCitySportsZone.com.